Well, Selah in this psalm divides the psalm into three units of thought. And I just want to walk through those with you because this psalm is set in the context of battle. If you look down, look at verse 1. I want to trace with you through these verses about the indications of warfare and battlefields. This whole psalm is set in the setting of David facing an army in a military setting, and he goes to sleep right in the middle of it. Just amazing. He's facing foes, as it says in the NIV. The New American says adversaries. So in the New King James says, those who trouble me. You know, that could be generic, but if you look at the Hebrew word, the NAS and NIV both bring it out, foes and adversaries. But look at verse 3. David needs a shield. Shield. That's warfare oriented. Verse 6, it says, they're set against me. That word means deployed like an army. They're marshaled against me. He said, my enemies don't just come and go. They've all set up their little battlefield spots. So verse 6, they're set against me, drawn up against me, the NIV says. David calls them in verse 7 his enemies. This isn't just casual stuff. These are focused enemies that are coming at him. He cries in verse 7 and says, arise, O Lord. Now, if you ever want to do a little jump in your Bible, go to Numbers 10. And verse 35, and that is exactly the marching orders when Israel went into battle. They're supposed to say, arise, O Lord. In other words, you're the one that's going to go before us and fight this battle, not us. Remember when Israel conquered the promised land? There's only one record of them being inflicted any casualties. As far as we know, just like David. Now, I know you can say, well, you can't argue from silence, but the Bible has so many statistics. It never records any casualties in all of the battles Israel fought conquering the land. And they faced entrenched, walled, cityed civilizations that were over 1,000 years old. Had a long time to get ready for defensive preparations. Israel never suffered loss. As long as they went out, Numbers 10:35, and said, arise, O Lord, and you go before us. And he did. And I mean, he threw hailstones down. And I mean, it was just amazing. He just fought for him. And that's what David cries out. It's a battlefield idea. Verse 7. He speaks of verse 8 when he says people. It's also the word that's used for army. It's kind of one of those words that, depending on the context, can be used either way. And so probably with all the shield and set in array and adversaries and enemies and all that stuff, it should be spoken of as armies. And also verse 8 has this idea of deliverance or salvation. And that in the context of Numbers 10:35 is still part of this war cry and asking God to win for them. So David is in this battle setting. And then he puts in these selahs. And I just want to kind of point them out to you, because we can divide up the message of the third psalm by looking at the little selah, selah, selah. David uses this word, which means lift up or crescendo or boom it out, crank it up. You know, he's just saying, get loud and think about this and pause. And he uses that to ask ourselves, as we look at his life, he says, stop and ask yourself, what do you think of that? So let me show you the first two verses. At the end of verse 2, he says this. Many say there's no help for him in God. Selah. So you can just think of our, you know, timpani over here. Boom. And then that meant everybody stop and consider this. And he asks, what do you think of that? So David does that. He didn't just tell people what to do. He did it. He wasn't just a thinker of the word. He was a doer. He didn't just write it, he did it. And so he thought about it, and he said, I have a lifetime of definite proof that God did care for me. I mean, he just thought back. He thought about the lion and the bear when he was a little shepherd boy, and then he thought about Goliath, and then he thought about how the Lord delivered him in all of his runnings from Saul, and he thought about all his decades of fighting everybody that bordered on Israel, and how he never even got wounded, let alone injured, or killed. And he thought about the tens of thousands of arrows that must have whizzed by him and all the spears that were thrown. Remember, Saul even threw one just bong right in the wall next to him. And he thought about that and he thought, wow, the Lord really has been a shield about me. So he thought about that. Then at the end of verse 4, look what he says. He answered me, Selah. Boom. Stop and consider this. What do you think of that? That's what Selah means. And David reflected upon God's steadfast love. And he reflected upon the confident faith he had that God always listened. God always responded to him. God has always rescued him in the past. He thought about it for a moment and he thought, and I bet he'll just keep on doing that. I mean, he's been faithful and he'll remain faithful. That's part of his name. He is the great and faithfulness God. So he goes on. Look at the end of verse 8. It says, salvation is of the Lord. Selah. Boom. Stop. Consider this. What do you think of that? And David reflects on the truth that it is God who alone can save us from all and any of our deepest troubles. And he thought about that. And it was so powerful to him that verse 5 says he just unrolled a sleeping bag and says, this is so good, I'm just going to rest. And he just went to sleep with 10,000 arrayed around him.